Oh, what's up, AM Nation? This is the Amalgamation Nation, your source for gaming, sports, anime news, and so much more. This is episode 182, Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. Got a lot of sport news to get into tonight. As always, I'm the anime watching booze cruising, Olivia Munzlik, and John Cena's following hostess with the mostest himself, Ryan Green Machine Ebner. As always, you can find the show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AmNationPod on both of those. So hit the follow button on those. We appreciate it. On YouTube, search for Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. You can listen to us on podcast platforms of choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and most importantly, Spotify. Spotify is introducing subscriptions on Spotify through Anchor. It is in beta right now. You can try and sign up for $4.99 a month to the show. If you do subscribe to the show, you get bonus content, including all of our review episodes that we've done for movies and shows, and we'll add more content as it goes. Right now, it's been really weird. Like, I know myself, BK, Big Lowe's, we've all tried to sub, and like it wasn't going through via Anchor, so we'll have to check that out and see. Probably because it's still in beta, but yeah, be on the lookout for that. The link is in our episode description, so check that out. And just to kind of point that out too, is when we do that, and those episodes do become subscriber-based only, you will only be able to access those episodes on Spotify. Not on Apple, not on Google, not any other Bullhorn or any other ones. It'll only be through Spotify when that is all up and running. We do have some episodes out, including Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart review. That was really good. BK and I sat down and we talked about Ratchet & Clank and how good that game was for the PS5. So check that out on podcast platforms. You can also check out the latest breakdown. It's a doozy. It is 2.5 hours of gaming news and E3 coverage. But damn, did we get through it. So check that out on podcast platforms as well. Oh, if you want to be a part of the show, right? You have a voicemail, you have questions, you have comments, all that good stuff. Leave a voicemail or text the show, 815-556-9089. Also, make sure you're checking out David on twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. Follow him and give him a sub. If you have Amazon Prime, which I hope you're enjoying Prime Day these last 2 days, you can go ahead and you get a free sub a month, so give it to Undead Blackbull. Joining me this evening, from North Carolina, Brendan BK Kennerly. BK, how are you? And I dig the Seton Hall hat.
Yeah, thank you. I got this hat after Colleen got into nurse practitioner school there at Seton Hall. So that's why I have it. I wouldn't randomly have a Seton Hall hat. I would not be contributing to their financial stability by buying one just randomly. I don't do that. It's like people know, like, as P2 definitely knows, like, I buy Ravens jerseys and Orioles jerseys. I don't buy like random jerseys for other teams. I don't want to support their revenue stream. So like, you actually have to mean something to me.
Oh, all right. Here I was thinking you did buy a random Seton Hall hat, but I was wrong. I was like looking at my, huh, that's pretty cool. I'm like, I don't even know what conference they're in, but good on him. Good on him.
I don't know either. Oh. Can't remember.
Are they the Big East for basketball?
Yeah,
maybe?
It might be the Big East. I think it's the Big East for basketball, but like, yeah, for, because I don't think they have, no, I don't think they have football. I don't know what they are for baseball. So,
yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know. I don't know. Rounding out the crew this evening, welcome back, Petey, Tahiti, staying breezy, Argus. Pete, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. You know, doing well. You know, it's beautiful here in Cleveland. You know, it's been good. You know, it's weird when the Cubs are like, you know, playing the Indians here. It's a little awkward right now. But yeah, you know, I'm just surviving. Oh, BK, I did want to make a quick comment though about your hat. It's great. It's very convenient because you already, you know, bleed, you know, purple and gold. So just keep with the pirate theme, easy enough. So seamless transition.
Makes it easy. I just like the scurvy teams.
Nice. Nice. I love it. Let's start with some hockey news. Checking in on the conference semifinals, conference finals. Cross checking. Vegas takes game 4 in overtime, 2-1, the knot of the series against the Canadiens, 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tomorrow. Last night was game 5 in a series that was tied 2-2, and the Tampa Bay Lightning pound the Islanders 8-0 in game 5 to take a 3-2 series lead. Every shot they took went in, it felt like. That was awful. That was absolutely terrible. Game 6 will be Wednesday. Tampa with an opportunity to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals yet again. Anything on those two series before we move along?
Just real quick, I mean, 8-0, that's, I mean,
in the playoffs,
that's a lot. That's in the playoffs. And, like, they were up, like, 7-0 with, like, I don't know if it was, like, right before the third period or if it was only a couple minutes into the third period. So that was pretty bad. So hopefully the Islanders, for their sake, can just shrug that thing off and just say, hey, let's just leave that crap in Tampa and, you know, let's win back at home. Because that was terrible. Because, I mean, what's crazy is that series has been so competitive. Then all of a sudden this game five pooper comes off, you know, here for the Islanders. So it's like, Jesus, like 8-0. That's insane.
Is game six back at Nassau?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that could potentially be the last game at Nassau Coliseum ever. So
yep.
That's also riding on the line as well.
Oh yeah.
Oh hell yeah. Before we get to basketball, because there's going to be a lot of basketball and baseball news, let's get through football and then the miscellaneous stuff. Let's start here. Let's do it with the bad part of football here. Frank Clark for the Chiefs arrested in LA after police noticed a concealed firearm during a vehicle violation. It was a submachine gun. He had an Uzi. Nice. Stay classy, Kansas City. Nice.
You know, one week you got Mahomes on the cover, man. The next week, Frank Clark does this. So, you know, you just got your eeps and flows. That's just what it is.
Mahomes and Brady were named dual cover athletes. Super lame. We talked about last week that they were going to announce it, and then on the gaming show on Thursday, we talked about who they announced. I think I said it there. It was still kind of lame because it was like the easy choice. I like wanted something different.
Super lame. I don't know if I said it on there or if we were talking about it.
I think you said Aaron Donald, right?
Yeah, like, just pick someone who has...
That would have been cool.
We just recently had Patrick Mahomes, and I, like...
Why couldn't we have one defensive player and one offensive player? Like, why couldn't we do that?
Exactly. Like, get creative. Like, I mean, like, there's plenty... Like I said, like, Aaron Donald is, like, heads and shoulders better than every other defensive player in the NFL, and he has been the last few years. It's, like, it's not even close. So, honestly, if you want to talk about a GOAT... Put him on there because there's no other defensive GOAT conversation right now. It's just him. There isn't like a Brady or Mahomes he's gonna be the GOAT potentially, blah blah blah. No, it's just Aaron Donald. That's the list.
I think it would have been cool if McCaffrey didn't get banged up last year, but like it would have been cool to do like Aaron Donald and Christian McCaffrey. Like I thought that would have been cool. Like just have two of them. You get a running back on there again for the first time in a hot minute. Honestly, the last running back on there might have been Peyton Hillis. That might be
for
the
Colts.
Yeah. He had that one year, got himself a Madden cover, so got him. And the last defensive player might be Troy Polamalu on the dual cover with Larry Fitzgerald.
I think it was Sherman. Sherman got on one of the years.
You are right.
Team
Sherman did.
I only know that because of I'm pretty sure I looked at the covers over the weekend. Like there was just like they were just like showing off like the last 10 years, and I was like, Richard Sherman was on the cover. Had no idea.
Now I'm visualizing
2015.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Richard Sherman would be the last one then. So pretty lame. The A's part. Pretty lame. Nothing wrong with Brady and Mahomes. I understand, but it's like both of them recently were just on it. So it's
there's a lot wrong with it. No, call them out. There's a lot wrong
with it. We hate it.
We absolutely hate it. I will take a game, Cody A, no problem, but I absolutely hate it.
Also, EA, Ryan wants you to really improve the franchise mode. Don't let him down.
Hey, I watched the video. I'll talk about it on Thursday a little bit and some of the improvements I saw that they're showing. They also launched a podcast series where they go in depth about like the different things that they're discussing in the YouTube videos. So like good on them. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, a little bashing them. They're just like, show me gameplay. And I'm like, I mean, you know, we got about a month from now until the EA Play conference. So like you'll probably see more gameplay then. I don't know what to tell you. That's probably how it's going to be, but it's what it is. And more positive news, Carl Nassib? Is it Nassib?
Is it Nassib? I think it's Nassib, okay. But I'm not 100% sure.
I think.
Defensive end of the Vegas Raiders. Yeah, my bad, Carl. Carl, the Vegas Raiders, comes out as gay, the first active NFL player to do so. His merchandise then jumped all the way up to number one as well. Now, my thing, and I think J.J. Watt tweeted this. There's a lot of players around the league showing their support for Carl, which is awesome. It's fantastic. He's like, I think he tweeted, like, it'd be really cool, and like, this isn't like supposed, like, a big deal. Like, it's just normal. It's like, whatever, that's cool. Good on you, bro. Nice. But it's awesome that Carl's able to come out and be able to take that and come out with that now and having the top selling jersey. Also super cool. But like I said, the best thing too was just seeing a lot of players around the league rally around him and support him, which is really awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic he was able to do that. And, you know, especially, I mean, Carl, he's been in the league for a few years, been with a few different teams. For him to, you know, come out and feel, you know, strongly that, you know, he feels as confident as he does to come out. I mean, especially in like a, you know, NFL, I mean, all the sports are, you know, quote unquote, like macho. But like in the NFL, that's probably got to be like one of the toughest locker rooms probably to come out. So, you know, props to Carl. And, yeah, I mean, for him to do this, like, during Pride Month, you know, awesome for him. And, yeah, for him to make that donation and totally forgot the foundation name, but for him to make that, like, $100,000 donation, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome. BK, thoughts?
Nah, it's cool. I do agree with what JJ's what. Sentiment on that, be like, oh, it'd be really interesting when it's like no longer news. I was literally just thinking about this. It'll be interesting when it's really if we'll ever get to the point of where it's like a superstar comes out, like, not hating on Carl Nassib, but I'm talking like a Pro Bowl caliber guy comes out and says it. I think that seems like one of the most logical next steps. If that does happen or not, like, but it just would be interesting, personally.
That's a good point. Let's keep with the LGBTQ community news. Laurel Hubbard of New Zealand will become the first openly transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics. Laurel will be competing in the women's super heavyweight 87-kilogram category. Hubbard has met the IOC's eligibility guidelines passed in 2015 by having a testosterone level of 10 nanomoles per liter for 1 year before competition. I don't know what any of that means, but good for her that she's going to be able to compete. I don't know what nanomoles or any of that is, but very nice.
I typed it up, but I don't know what it means.
Nope.
So this is where we need a guest appearance by Molly or like even Colleen just to tell us like, hey, what is a nanomole?
Yeah. BK, excellent point. I was going to say we should have our wives talk about that because like we have no idea what the heck that even means, but it sounds serious. So I don't know.
I'm not aware of it either. Also, Kumi Yokoyama of the Washington Spirit comes out as a transgendered man. ESPN, I'm going to use the they pronoun because that's what ESPN used in the article when they wrote it up.
That's what they prefer.
They prefer the they pronoun. Okay, because like as I read it, I was like, I'm not sure what is the proper pronoun here, but they are using them and they. So really cool for them to come out. And, you know, it's been a thing where they spoke about how another player, the name is escaping me, came out as transgender, supporting transgender. You know, I think I have the article right here. I mean, Quinn. Yeah. Midfielder Quinn from the OL Reign. They were wearing the Protect Trans Kids sweatshirt before a game and encouraged them to speak out. That was a whole thing that led to Kumi coming out and doing this. So also really cool as well. Be able to have more people come out and be comfortable with who they are. I think that's the biggest thing, and seeing everybody support them is great as well. Anything else on that, BK or Pete? No?
No. It's cool. It's cool. Just heads up for all, like, if we say your pronouns wrong, you know, on the show or whatever.
Let us know.
We don't mean it maliciously. Yeah, we're just not informed. We don't mean offense.
I mean,
I said we don't know what a liter of Nanimal is. All right, or Nanimals per liter. Yeah. All right, BK, just to put it in perspective.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We don't even know what we even wrote. So, I mean, if that shows how smart we are, I don't know what can exemplify like what we're doing. So, yeah.
Doing our best out here.
Yeah, we're trying.
Let's jump to the Olympics again. Tokyo Olympic organizers set a limit of 50% capacity for each venue with a maximum of up to 10,000 fans. For those that didn't know, over there in Tokyo, Japan, in Japan in general, they are still under quarantine, like lockdown. I know the only reason is Kojima and some of the different anime studios I saw news on. Like, it's been kind of a pain. So, yeah, the Olympics going through that as well, so 50% capacity. Also, Chinese swimmer Song Yang banned again for breaking anti-doping rules after a retrial. He will miss the Tokyo Olympics. Cheater.
I really wanted to add to the notes there where it's like, it was really hard for BK to type this without a huge smile on his face.
I bet. I love it. And what I also do enjoy, the Supreme Court of the United States unanimously affirmed a ruling Monday that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated, also opens the door for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion, which upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust laws by placing limits on the education-related benefits that schools can provide to athletes. The decision allows schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it is some way connected to their education. Quote, the NCAA is not above the law. Kavanaugh wrote, quote, the NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels. Ooh, big words. I have big words. But the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in any other industry in America. Pete, I know you're a big fan of the NCAA, so I would let you take this first.
Well, if anyone's ever heard me talk about the NCAA, that is a total flat lie. The NCAA is a joke. Absolute joke, and I love Kavanaugh's quote there at the end that the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. If that, like, I mean, that's basically what the NCAA is. Like, for the NCAA, for them to even come out and have that part where it says current business model, the NCAA, if you look at their website, it says they act as a nonprofit. Yet, they get billions of dollars in profit. It's a total joke. A good thing that this is happening. And yeah, hopefully the floodgates open here on this, because it is an absolute joke. Mark Emmert, like, he, you know, up at his, you know, huge tower there in Indy, like, it's a joke. It's a joke what the NCAA is. And, you know, it's about time that the players get something out of this, because, like, all these student athletes and everything, like, they make so much money there for the university. Like, and I mean, yeah, they're getting a free scholarship. I completely understand that. But, like, they're also not able to basically profit off of that. I mean, if they weren't an athlete, if they were doing something off campus, like, okay, say you were a musician there at school. Like, you can make money off of that. Player, no. So, I mean, good for this, you know, to happen. So, yeah, it's great when the NCAA loses. It's awesome. Good for, you know what, glad this ruling came down.
BK, another huge fan of the NCAA. I'll let you take it.
It's another blow for the NCAA, and it makes me wonder, like, how much longer they'll be around, like, in charge of all of collegiate athletics with everything that's happening. Like, I think some form of them will be in place, but in terms of, like, having any significant, like, power or over the schools, I'm not sure. I think this is just, like, the first step in that direction. The only thing that scares me about where it says, like, something like, okay, yeah, by placing limits on the education-related benefits. Now, I feel like lawyers can twist that, and schools can, whichever way that they want, where it's just like, yeah, we bought a Ferrari because he has to drive from his off-campus apartment to campus to go to class. Like, he can't walk. He can't walk in those Jordans that he was gifted because he's going to scuff them up. He's got to get a Ferrari to drive to campus. Oh, yeah, no. And all those students that can't afford a parking pass, no, his is taken care of.
Should have just been more simple and got him a Porsche. I don't understand why we have to
get him a Porsche. Easily, so, man.
That's the only thing I'm afraid of where I think you're going to, like, see that. And then it's going to make a deeper divide in athletics that already happens between, like, a P2s in my school. You know, like, I'm not going to bring up Dan's school. I'll get in trouble if I throw an NIU here. So Ohio and ACU, there will be a bigger divide between them and, like, let's just say Illinois, the UNCs now. That's what I'm personally afraid of, is kind of having these floodgates open. I am for the athletes, like, getting complicated, like, you know, them being able to use themselves to garner money. But in terms of just, like, the schools just going nutso crazy and just doing all this stuff, like, I don't know how I feel about that. Just, like, kind of makes me feel a little icky, but I could be a boomer there, so I'll have to get over that. And that's fine. I'll get over it.
I think that this is a topic that, for a lot of people, has evolved over the years. When it first started to become, like, a thing, at least in my memory, it was like, oh, God, like, no, they get tuition. Like, we're not going to pay students. Like, why would people do that? And then, like, when you start to realize how much money the NCAA makes, revenue, I think, in 2019 was over $10 billion. Just for reference, the NFL back in, like, 2015 was, like, $11 billion. So, like, there you go. So I think it is – we are reaching a point now where – players, one, hands down, there should have been no question that, like, players should be able to go do autograph signings or go make commercials or, like, do things to get money from their likeness. There is absolutely zero problems with that. I think that should be a thing. Where it goes down to what the schools do, I mean, I'm not going to be shocked. I think that you'll see somewhere around, like, $2,000 to $5,000 a month given to athletes. Like, I think that's probably, I cannot see it going any higher than $5,000 a month from the school. Now, from other people on the outside, that's different. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But to Frank's point, all student athletes matter. The school should pay the full tuition for all athletes. And then, and thus, more students would participate in sports. I think that that's a good – the point of that, and what's going to be so interesting, is now what does happen. Because, okay, if you pay a football player such and such, now you have to pay – let's say a women's volleyball player, such and such. If you play a men's baseball player, this, you have to pay a softball player this, because there's a thing called Title IX, in case nobody knew. A nice little thing there called Title IX. So there's going to have to be equalness throughout all of this. How do we do that? Obviously, basketball and football make the most money for the colleges, right? Because of the March Madness and for the college football playoffs and bowl games and all that. But now, how do you differentiate that and those athletes compared to, like, the lacrosse team or the water polo team or the rowing team or, like, the, you know, all the different sport teams that they have? That is where things are going to get very, very interesting. Interesting indeed. Anything else on college? Possibly. Well, as we're, it's inevitable. We are going to see players be able to make money from their likeness.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess my last point, I guess to BK's point about the separation between the small schools and the big schools, I mean, it already is. I mean, I don't have the facts back it up, but I mean, the bigger schools are getting away with stuff. I mean, let's just be honest. The NCAA is corrupt. You know,
like,
I mean,
for years.
Yeah, so it's like. But I'm just so intrigued to see, like, BK's point, though. Like, if they're able to, like, finagle this around and be like, oh yeah, who's that on campus? Oh yeah, that's the starting quarterback. Oh yeah, that's the point guard. That's the center. So it's like you know, you're gonna know who's who, basically, on campus. You know, if they're able to divvy out, you know, different, you know, extra things there for the athletes. So that'll be interesting to see. And it'd be an interesting experience there in college. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting for that fact, because you have a lot of broke college kids, like, you know, who are just like, oh, like, what'd you have for dinner? I had a can of beans. Like,
yeah.
It's like, where'd you spend all your money? Alcohol. Duh. Like, yeah. Then I have my leftover money for a can of beans. All right. And yep. Then you're gonna have the guys that just look and fly.
Yep.
Frank, yep. to your point there. Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay. Frank said, understandable when we're talking about basketball and football being the breadwinners there when it comes to college athletics, that those basketball students that make it to professional would promote the college/university. That is always true as well, right? Then it's like, well, if I go to Sutton, like if I go to Ohio State or I go to Alabama, I guess that's a better example. If I go to Alabama 9 times, it feels like I have a really high chance of making it to the NFL. Because the reality of it is like 3.5% of college football players make it to the NFL. Like 1.something% of basketball players make it to the NFL. I mean, the NBA. So I do see your point that, yeah, if you know, the ones that do make it, of course, it does help promote the university, the college. And just like I said, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all breaks down. I think for me, a turning point, at least I've always been under the assumption, I'm like, well, I mean, I understand they get tuition, but like, you know, that's one thing. But like, you still see these college athletes that are like, he's like, oh, no, all I can buy is beans this week and some Bush Light. Like, that's it. at least get some Keystone. My Lord. I do
that
think...
That was always more expensive than Bush and Natty Light.
Dude, but, I know. I was a Natty Light.
It didn't get cheaper until when I was somewhere in college. Like, I forget what year it was. When they started coming out with the Keystone commercials, and I think that's when they started getting, like, a little bit cheaper. But, yeah, it was always like, yeah, you always went Bush Light, Natty Light, or, like, you know, you went, like, PBR. Oh. Or you went the Beast, Milwaukee's best ice. Yeah, Milwaukee's if you were best, like, all right, you know, yeah.
You just get some high life, dude. Live the high life. There you go. Yeah, too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, it's inevitable. It is that college athletes are going to make more money on themselves, which they should be able to in general. John Rahm wins the U.S. Open for his first major. He had to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament a couple weeks before for a positive COVID-19 test after he shot perhaps the best round of his entire career. And then he had that. And then he just had a baby, him and his wife did, born right around the time of the Masters. And then his parents, who he hadn't been able to see, came into town. And then he couldn't even see them because of his positive COVID-19 test. And then here he is, winning his first major this weekend, the U.S. Open. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to see after having to withdraw because of COVID, he was able to come back and win. That's really cool. Really cool for John Rahm, dude. Pretty, pretty dope. Let's see. Let's do... Yeah, we don't have any... BK's not taking us to the pitch tonight, so there's that. So, Petey Tahiti.
It's just Euros. That's why. Sorry, Frank. I just didn't want to throw in the Euros talk. I've been watching it, but I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was worthy enough to cover. So sorry, Frank.
No, he's sorry. Sorry.
Sorry, Frank.
Junior. Sorry, Junior. It's not happening today. Petey Tahiti, why don't you take us to around the diamond?
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it, Ryan. So we're going to start with... I don't know if anybody's been watching any games start of this week, but they're testing those pitchers. They're looking at what's underneath the glove. They're testing. They're looking the umps. I mean, it's funny because they keep like showing like the umps are going up to like the managers, the pitchers. I know Scherzer tonight showed a little bit of attitude.
He was
basically
checked three times.
Or was it three times?
Innings. Three times and four innings
times
he was checked.
Man. So, yeah, so pitchers are getting pissed about this. So this is really the new guideline that they have here, you know, because I know we talked about this a few weeks ago about the MLB implementing it. This is when it's going to start. So under the new guidelines, here we go. Any pitcher who possesses or applies foreign substances in violation of the rules will be ejected from the game and automatically suspended in accordance with the rules and past precedent. Suspensions under Rule 3.01 are 10 games. Starting pitchers will have more than one mandatory check per game, and relievers must be checked at the end of the inning when they enter the game or when they are taken out of the game, whichever comes first. Typically, the inspections will take place between innings or during pitching changes to give the umpires ample time to perform a thorough check without delaying the game. Also, catchers, you got to look out too. So catchers will also be subject to routine inspections. Umpires will also inspect position players if they observe conduct consistent with the use of a foreign substance by the pitcher. Position players will not be ejected for having a foreign substance on their glove or uniform unless the umpire determines the player was applying the substance to the ball in order to aid the pitcher. So guess what, players, if you're thinking about it, if you're a position player, think about assisting your boy that's pitching. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Bobby Manfred says no. And then umpires may perform a check at any point during the game when the umpire notices the baseball has an unusually sticky feel to it, or when the umpire observes the pitcher going to his glove, hat, belt, or any part of his uniform or body to retrieve or apply what may be a foreign substance. So maybe, Ryan, what you just touched upon with the Scherzer thing, maybe Joe Girardi's like, hey, check that out. Check out Max's. We don't trust him. We don't trust him. Check on that. So, I don't know if you guys watched any games yet here this week. What are your thoughts? I guess we'll start, you know, BK, we'll start with you. You know, what are your thoughts here on this new rule? You know, I guess being implemented and I guess how it's gone so far.
Love it. Love it, baby. Get the pitchers all ruffled up. I don't care. Like, they're usually the highest paid guys on the team anyways. Like, I don't know. I just don't care. They're cheating. It's against the rules. I'm sorry it wasn't called on you for the longest time, but you were still cheating nonetheless. Like, you knew what you were doing. And I like how Roy Oswalt over the weekend literally called out pitchers. He was like, there's no excuses. He's like, why are you complaining about grips? He's like, you knew you were cheating in the first place. You're doing it to gain a competitive edge, and you're being called out on it, and you're complaining about it. He was like, that he's like, wow, you just don't sound like a professional athlete. So I love how Roy Oswalt, I mean, he made a few all-star games there for the Astros and the Phillies in the '90s and 2000s. So, I mean, he wasn't bad, like, by any stretch.
Very good pitcher.
So when you have a good pitcher like that calling you out, it's just like, all right, like, a lot of these guys just need to take a look in the mirror and just, I mean, it's like, just get over it. Like, I don't know. I think I spoke my fair show on it last week. I was intermittently watching the Orioles game here. Before the Astros just loaded the bases with no outs, then I was like, all right, I just turned off the game at that point. It's over. and I didn't really notice the checks or anything like that. So, like, it's not – I feel like it's not ruining my viewing experience as a fan. Mm-hmm. On TV, I haven't gone in person yet. Hopefully I'll do that here in August sometime to go to an Orioles game. So then I'll be able to let you know my firsthand experience being there at the game if it ruins the experience at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, we talked about this, like, I don't know, like a few months ago when we were talking about, like, the first month of the season. We're talking about how, like, nobody can hit. And it's, like, the first time since, like, 1900 for a lot of that stats. We talked about the no-hitters and whatever. Like, you wouldn't think just over an offseason the pitchers just got better and the batters can't hit. Like, did the batters take no BP, like, during offseason? It honestly doesn't make sense. I mean, from that perspective, too. So it's not like the pitchers all of a sudden got better. So, BK, very good point. Ryan, your thoughts here on this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I wanted to see how it was implemented. Big boy Bobby Manfred was like, ooh, we got to stop this because, like, nobody's hitting, so this isn't good. And I just think, like, yeah, like I said, it hasn't taken away anything from the viewership experience. I do like to see, like, when I go to a game, like, go to a Sox game and, like, they got to get checked. I mean, apparently they're not using it enough because they're getting rocked by the Pirates right now, but, like, whatever. it is something I just want to see, like, how does it detract? Like, I remember when they changed the rule not too long ago about, like, you only have so many seconds in between batters and you have to, like, pitch again and, like, to speed up the game or whatever. So now it's like, well, fuck that. We're not going to do that anyway because, like, we got to check the pitcher now. You know, 3 out of the 4 innings Scherzer was checked. That's kind of wild to me. So I just want to see how this continues to progress. But I guess as long as it doesn't take away from the viewership experience, it is what it is. Looks like BK said, like, they were cheating. They knew they were cheating. So, like, oh, see, Frank, this is a great question. See, you can go back last week and listen to BK go on a good soapbox and tell you why it doesn't matter that it's been happening for a long time. But to Frank's point, he said, but pitchers have been doing this for a long time. Why change it now? It's not like it just began. Last week, BK went on a very long rant very long rant about why it's still not okay. But Pete, I want to ask you, because you weren't here last week, so your thoughts on them making this rule change now, just because, to Frank's point, it has been going on for a long time.
Well, I just feel like this is just baseball. So this is what baseball does. They don't do anything right for what, like, should be happening. They already knew about this, like, I mean, going into the season, they knew about this. This is something that's been brewing here for years. I mean, they've been knowing about the spin rate. They've been knowing about hitters struggling. They've been knowing about this. And then all of a sudden, you get six no-hitters there in the first month, and then they freak out. And then Rob Manfred's like, oh, my God. Like, we have to do something. This is really bad. Like, the hitting's down. And it's not, like, quote-unquote fun baseball to watch. That's really what it came down to. So, and, like, is it, like, the right thing for Manfred to do? Yes. Is the timing awful? Yes. Okay, bull for awful timing, because it's the middle of the season. Like, this is right when, like, baseball starts to, like, kind of get their, you know, like, you start to see teams really kind of separate themselves. It's deadline time. Like, this is when, like, good teams start to make a run. And it's just bad timing on baseball's part. But, I mean, that's just what baseball does. But, I mean, yeah, they are cheating. I mean, if they're cheating, then this has to be disciplined. This has to be done. But, yeah, it's just strange circumstances at this time to do it, like, midway through the season.
Yeah. And also, Frank, to your point, the Astro players didn't get banned. And they knew about Sosa and McGuire. Yeah, I mean, again, I could beat that in, like, a dead horse. That they knew, all to your point, they did. It brought in so much money for baseball. So many people watching the home run era, the steroid era. That's why Bugsy League didn't do anything about it until later, when it became like a thing where he had to, because the government was stepping in, and he was like, "Oop, I have to do something for steroids." And here, not as extreme. Obviously not nearly as extreme as steroids, but the product is so bad, depending on who's watching, I guess, right? You might be sitting there listening, Ryan, I love watching pitchers dominate and nobody hitting. And if that's the case, this has been your season. But a majority of people, especially casual fans, don't want to see that. And they're watching just a lot of really bad hitting. It has to do a lot with the spin rates and everything like that. So, to your point, Pete, they don't ever do anything right. But, like, Manfred was like, oh, damn, I got to do something. So I guess I'll do it now. Guess I'll do something now. This isn't great. You start off the season with a bunch of execs and coaches having sexual assault charges. Now he's got this, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know. The MLBPA is going to, like, we're going to go on strike next season anyway. Like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
It's just messed up. It's just completely messed up. But what's also, I mean, do you guys have any other thoughts there on that, really, before we move on?
Yeah, okay. Just to touch upon my point from last week a little bit, like, just to say to you, Frank, just because I've been doing it forever doesn't necessarily make it okay. And, like, and what I also said is, like, it's always been in the rule book. This stuff, like, with foreign substances, about touching, like, your glove, has always been in the rule books and, like, not necessarily enforced. So the MLB always has that to, like, fall upon. Like, oh, hey, this has technically always been the rules. We just never really called you out on it before. So I don't know. It's just because it's always been done that way doesn't necessarily make it okay.
Very, very true statements. True statements right there. Actually, segue, what's not okay is Diamondbacks setting an MLB record with 23 straight losses. My God. So, BK, if you ever feel bad about your O's, like, D-backs got 23, though. They got 23 in a row. I can't imagine that. That's insane. I know at some point, I don't know if it was, like, last week or something, but they lost 28 of the last 30 games at some point. Like, that's just remarkable how bad that is. So tough to be a Diamondback fan right now, but hey, they released their, I don't know if you guys talked about this on last week's episode, but did you guys talk about, the new city jerseys?
No, I did not.
They're playing. I mean, there's a reason why the team lost 23 straight. I'm trying to think of, like, the color that it is. It's like a sand color. That's what it is. It's nothing. Nothing to write home about.
A little snake head on the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the logo's cool, but it's like, God, you blend in with sand, really. I mean, maybe that's what they're going for. You know, it is the Diamondbacks. Maybe that's what they're going for.
They had a balance.
They want to blend in.
The Valley jersey from the Suns is so cool. They're like, man.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing, too, right? Shout out to Dan out there in Phoenix. Like, they got this great basketball team, and then you got, you know, Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals could be exciting. And then you got the Diamondbacks. Absolutely awful. Oh, and the Coyotes. Sorry about them, too.
Yeah. So shout out to Dan. I don't know if you are listening.
He says he listens.
All right. Shout out to Dan. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Dan?
I like to point out that he listens, and there's been so many times that Pete and I give him shit on this show, and he says nothing. Last week, BK comes at NIU Huskies, and Dan is fired up. Absolutely fired up for his Huskies.
Yeah, I guess it's selective listening then on Dan's part. That's what it sounds like to me. What's not great also is the Sox get rocked this weekend over the Astros. I don't think anyone in America wants the Astros to be good. We already talked about that. Injuries catching up here to the White Sox. And then they're struggling here against Pittsburgh. Obviously, I'm going to start with Ryan. Ryan, your thoughts here on the White Sox. What are you thinking right now?
How do we lose to the Pirates? The Pittsburgh Pirates. How did we lose? I swear on anything that is holy, if we lose this division to the Indians, I am going to lose my mind and rip the White Sox organization all off season. This is ridiculous. Figure it out. I know how banged up we are. We have guys in the pipeline ready to come up, and then all I see on White Sox Twitter is, oh, we got to deal them. Got to deal them for this. Okay, well, how about instead of dealing them right away, let's see what they could do. Like, let's see if maybe they could plug some of the holes up here and figure this out, because this is absolutely awful. I understand. I get it. They are very banged up. It seems like every week another player is injured, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Today, Giolito pitched honestly not that bad. This was one of his better performances. And then Garrett Crochet came in and just got absolutely rocked, giving up four runs, I think it was, in like the matter of not even a third of an inning, like just getting absolutely rocked. To the Pirates, to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know what it is. They gotta figure it out, because I'm getting extremely aggravated.
All right. So if we want to talk about aggravated, let's go to the Cubs. Lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins over the weekend. I'm just sick of the Marlins. Like, let's just get rid of them as a team. Nobody shows up to the games, mostly because they just destroy the Cubs all the time. So why can't we just move them? Like, just get them out of here. Doesn't really matter. They can't hit right now. They've had 9 straight games of scoring 3 runs or less. Baez forgot how many outs there are. I was watching the game yesterday, and there's a pop up to left field, lazy fly ball. Baez is just running around like it's, you know, a Sunday stroll here, you know, as he's going to third base, and he's like, oh my God, I thought there was 2 outs. I didn't know. Props to David Ross for saying, Javi, you're an idiot and you need to sit down, because you just cost us runs. Because guess what? We can't hit right now. So we had a guy on base. And that's honestly a miracle. And I'm saying all this, and at this point, Cubs are up 4-0. So guess what? That's straight, 9 straight, it's over. We did it. We did it, Cubs. We did it. We scored 4 in this game. Oh my God. As I'm talking, they score a run. It's 5-0. Let's go.
Just keep talking. So, keep grandstanding.
I'm just going to keep ranting and talking bad about them right now. But no, honestly, I don't know how to feel about this team. Because the division stinks. We've talked about it multiple times. The division's terrible. Brewers can't hit. They threw up a stat yesterday because we were watching the Cubs-Indians game, and it was like, of course, like if I'm watching the game with like Molly, like we're going to watch the Indians broadcast, whatever. But so they have the top 5 like worst offenses in baseball. Like 4 of the 5 are in the NL Central. Like the worst average is... the Brewers. Second, Who's second? Seattle. Third, Cubs. Fourth, Cardinals. Fifth, Pirates. That's terrible. Like, what? That is atrocious. I think the Cubs, like, batting average is like 214. I don't think they have a player over 300 right now. It's insanely bad right now. I mean, Chris Bryant has cooled off here lately. Before, he was probably hitting like 300. But I don't know what to think of this team, especially because you have Baez, who's up after this year. You've got Contreras, Rizzo, Bryant, Kimbrel. There's no way they're going to pick up $16 million for a closer, so they're not picking that up. So it's like you have all these guys that are on the last year of their deal, and then you look at the division, and they're tied right now. For as bad as they played, they're tied with Milwaukee. So as a Cubs fan, I have no idea how to feel. Are they better than the Mets? No, because I don't know if you watched the games last week. They can't still hit. And guess who can pitch? The Mets. And then, like, out west, I mean, San Francisco is playing great baseball. You still got the Dodgers, still got the Padres. So I just do not think this team in October is ready really to compete whatsoever. So I don't know what they do with the deadline. I don't know if they do like a mixture of like, hey, let's trade some guys and then like maybe add at the same time. I don't know. It's a weird situation, but that's my Cubs rant and my Cubs thoughts really on that. So, yeah, you guys probably don't have any thoughts on that.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I do feel better. Yeah. Cause they stunk. So yeah, I do feel better ranting about them. So BK, do you want to talk at all about your O's or is it? I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, no, it's up to you, man.
They still suck.
Okay.
Every week, that is the best. Yeah. BK, how about your O's? They suck.
Hey, Mullins though. Mullins is a stud.
Oh,
Mullins is a stud though.
I don't know if I said it last week or not. If I didn't, I'll grandstand about Cedric Mullins here. Great ball player. He's ninth in All Star voting. That's bullshit. So fans of other teams out there, get the fuck off your high horse. He needs to be. He should be a starter for the All-Star.
I voted
he
for Mullins. All,
thank you. I did too. I'm using my. I forgot to do my five today, so I got to do that. I'll probably do that while we're still recording here. I'll do my five votes. He at one point he was leading all the AL outfielders in WAR. So like, how is he not like? I just don't understand. I guess part of it he plays for the Orioles, but at the same time, like, he's putting up numbers. Like, he's putting up numbers, bro. Like, he needs to be a starter, and I'm so happy for him. Like I said, he's a North Carolina kid. I believe he grew up in Greensboro. Then he went to Campbell, was a switch hitter. He didn't start until I think it was college, like switch hitting. So he hadn't done it for a long time in his career. And then the Orioles and the offseason were like, hey, just kind of drop the switch hitting, like, because I mean he bounced down in between the bigs and then like he went all the way down to Double A Bowie, so it was really really smart for him just to bat permanent lefty, and he's just a great leadoff hitter. I think he's got 15-16 home runs as a leadoff hitter for the Orioles, and he's batting over 300. Great ball player.
It's impressive. See, he's batting over 300, and it doesn't even matter what they put on that baseball. Doesn't matter. He's still hitting it. Don't matter.
Yeah, I think he's
balls are now. Maybe.
Yeah, well, cause I think because he's a leadoff hitter, the ball, by then, they have to slowly build it up as the game goes on.
That's probably it. I mean, his average probably, like, first at bat, it's got to be easily over 500. I don't even have to look at the stats to already know it. I don't even have to look at it. So, so that's probably it. But there's the O's update there with BK. But, I mean, another guy that's, coming up here. Dud prospect Wander Franco has been called up there by the Rays. If anybody wants to feel old, first player born in the year 2000.
2001. Yes, sir.
That's pretty disgusting.
That is awful. His first hit came in the fifth inning today, a three-run blast. Wander Franco.
Stunned. And he's on my fantasy team. My fantasy team, and guess what? My team still stinks. Okay.
It's just gonna go put it in
the ditch.
I'm gonna say this on the podcast so that we can remember this and like, we can look back at this. I am never doing a fantasy baseball league again. Not doing it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Loyal listener to the show. He said he would only do it if it's straight up points and not rotisserie. Like head to head, he would do it.
Yeah. Let's do points.
Because I feel like that's way better.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah. Because every single day I look at my team and I get depressed. So it's just bad.
I've moved up to fifth, bad, man. And I don't even know how. But like, shout out,
props, to man. Shout out to you, man. Shout out to you. But no, that's a baseball talk.
I haven't checked in a while. I checked earlier, and I was like, oh, I have, let's see how many guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that are on the injured list.
It's because my mind has, like, drifted into fantasy football. Like, now I'm beginning to prepare. It's all starting, and it's like, I forget that I even have a fantasy baseball team.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what fantasy baseball is. It's too much. It's too much, man. Even basketball, it's like, I mean, that's long, but, like, you at least have, like, a couple days or whatever. Baseball, it's like, oh my god, it's every day. It's every day. It's insane. It's insane. But yeah, no, that's baseball talk. I think I'll kick it over. Ryan, are you gonna talk NBA now?
Yeah, let's wrap up the show with some NBA talk. Let's do it. The draft lottery was tonight. The Pistons win the lottery. Boo. No one wants anything good in Detroit. Boo. That sucks. Rockets get second. Cavs get third. That's pretty sweet. The Bulls got drawn eighth, which means that pick officially does belong to the Orlando Magic. Whatever. What? Fine, I guess. It's rigged. This is ridiculous. Chris Paul enters COVID protocol, misses game one. Doesn't matter. The Suns win 120 to 114. Devin Booker showed up with a triple-double. 40 points, 13 boards, and 11 assists. Oh, I see that. Why'd I see? I don't know why I added that down later in the notes, because I wasn't reading. That's why. Also, the Suns are up right now as we get ready for the towards the end of the first half in game two against the Clippers. So shout out to Dan and his Suns, dude. This is sweet. This is super sweet. I love every bit of it. I'm still waiting on Dan to get me that interview with Booker or Chris Paul, but that's fine. Whenever you can, Dan, appreciate it. Just, you know, let him know. Send him the Discord link. We'll set it up. No big deal. Or if he needs to do Zoom, we'll set up Zoom. Not worried about it. I can do either or. It's fine.
Meet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boom. There it is.
Yeah.
Suns GM James Jones takes home executive of the year as deserved. As well deserved. The Suns cannot give them more praise if I tried. Was I the one that had them ranked the highest in preseason predictions? Could have been. Could have been the one that said, watch out for the Suns.
Ryan, you were. Why can't you just declare it? You already were. Like, it's not like it's a mystery. You did it. You did it, man.
I did it.
Yeah. Shout out to you. But real quick, because I know you guys are huge Kobe fans. So I want to know your opinion on this. And, like, I think Stephen A. said it, but I don't care. I said it before when I was watching the game over the weekend. So, but does Devin Booker not remind you of a mini Kobe? Like, just the way he plays and just, like, the way he shoots, just his game, does it not remind you of a mini Kobe? Well, okay, maybe from the offensive side. We're not going to get into defense. We're just talking offensive end of the floor.
BK.
I could see it a little bit, yeah. I mean, just because I got to bring up the defensive thing real quick. Because Kobe was actually, like, a really great defensive player and, like, all NBA defensive teams. But – like, yeah, in terms of offensive game, Booker, well, I really like how Booker's done it this year where, like, there's no extra baggage or bullshit or anything like that. Like, no grains. Like, he's just going out and he's doing the damn thing. And, like, he's not making excuses or whatever. Because, like, in the past, like, I mean, I remember watching a game with him. Like, he went to, like, a local, like, maybe with, like, his, like, boys or whatever like that. And he's playing, like, a pickup game. And, like, he's getting double-teamed, and he's whining about it and complaining about it. Well, it's like, bro, like, you're an NBA basketball player. You need to be able to get out of a double-team like that, especially if you want to be an all-star caliber level. If there's just guys off the street that are double-teaming you and you're getting frustrated by it because you can't get out of it, that's an issue. And I feel like he has evolved so much beyond that. And maybe part of that is Chris Paul, too, because, like, Chris Paul, we can't give enough praise to Chris Paul. It's like, I mean, Chris Paul is just – a consummate professional workhorse, shut up and grind. That's the kind of guy that Chris Paul is, and I think he's really impressed that attitude and belief onto Devin Booker, and I think you're seeing great things out of Devin Booker, and props to him. Just stepping up without Chris Paul. I mean, he's doing it tonight again. I mean, like, the Suns are up one. Like, he's doing the damn thing.
Yeah, I think that there is like bits and pieces of it that we see of like on this offensive game from Kobe. You know, he is a Kobe guy, very vocal about that. And I think that that's why there's no surprise when it comes to that. Devin Booker, to BK's point, yeah, he's just doing the damn thing. Just going out here balling out. And like, I've loved every single bit of it this postseason. I think they've won, what, 8 in a row now, postseason games, which is just absolutely incredible. This team rocks, man. They're fantastic, and I need some more of that Valley jersey. That's what I need, and I need one, Dan. So if you see one out there, get that custom made. Stay breezy on the back. Oh, yeah. Let's do it, bro. Send it to me. You know, it's cool. I'll take it as like an early Christmas gift or whatever. That's fine. Shout out to you.
Number 7, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dude, 7 of course. Okay. Of course. Always okay. Number 7, bro. Always. Okay. Pete, did you? Since you brought it up, do you see little bits of Kobe?
Yeah, there was a couple shots that he hit in game one where it was like little elbow jumpers. Just the way he was, just his mannerisms were very similar there to Kobe. Because like you think of Devin Booker, I mean, even when he was like coming out of college, it was like, you know, he's a 3-point shooter. He's just a great shooter. Like when I saw Devin Booker play in game one, I was like, Devin Booker's a great scorer. Like, I mean, he was just doing everything that was needed, whether it was like cutting to the basket, doing like little floaters. I mean, just elbow jumpers. I mean, that's really what Kobe did a lot of the time when it was a big shot and it was needed. And that's what he did in the fourth quarter. So that reminded me of Kobe.
I think the biggest thing for the Suns right now, too, is like their depth and like their the rest of their role players stepping up. Like, because Devin Booker, even tonight, he's 3-for-10 to start the first half. He's got 9 points. But Cameron Payne, former Bull, out here with 16.
Oh, God.
Shooting 6-for-12. So, like, he can't, and there's just no joke, but Cameron Payne has stepped up in the playoffs for the Phoenix Suns, and it is incredible to see, because as a Bulls fan, I remember just wanting him off our team so bad. Here he is on the Suns, trying to lead them into an NBA Finals. So like, this is intense. To Frank's point, Booker is more like a James Harden. Yeah, I mean, I get where that's coming from, like because of the scoring aspect. This guy, at least his hamstring's okay though. Shout out to James Harden.
Oh.
Oof. Before we get to the Nets, the Sixers lost Game 7 at home, 103-96 to the Atlanta Hawks. Kevin Huerter led the Hawks in scoring with 27 points. He also added 7 boards and 3 assists. Ben Simmons lets down the 76ers again. 0-for-0 shooting in the fourth quarter of the last 4 games. He shot 33% from the charity stripe. That's 15-45. He averaged 34.2% from the stripe this playoff run. He's a 520 for his career. Shaq's career playoff free throw percentage is 504. Ben Wallace, 418. And his struggles have not just started this year. It's been a playoff thing in general for Mr. Ben Simmons. Doc Rivers' playoff struggles continue. New team, new players, but the same old disappointment for Doc Rivers. An overall playoff record 98-94, 6-9 in game sevens. Let's do this. Does trust the process work? Does tanking work? BK.
It works when you draft the right guys. And then also it's a combination of a lot of things where like you have to, the guy has to go into the right system. So like there's that. And then the guy has to continue to get better. And then you have to have the right coaching. And then you have to continue to draft like the right people. Like I've discussed before, is that the Wizards just did not draft good enough guys to go with like John Wall. And I think that's why, but at that same time, John Wall never improved on his shooting, which is like what you're absolutely seeing with Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid hit more 3-pointers this playoffs than Ben Simmons. Your center hit more 3-pointers, also attempted more, than your starting point guard. That's bad. I mean, like, you're seeing centers shoot more threes now than they have ever before. I mean, we're getting used to Jokic, and I mean, we kind of started getting used to that with Dirk. So, like, that's not crazy. It's crazy that your starting point guard can't shoot for more than 10 feet outside of the basket. He has to be within 10 feet to make a shot. That's concerning. Like, that's way worse than Rajon Rondo. Like, at least Rajon Rondo would shoot and like would actually like make them like every now and then. Like, you would still, like, you didn't completely respect it, but he would. And he was also more, I think, a lot much more crafty than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is more of a bully point guard, you know, quote unquote. Like, he's, you know, he's a bigger guy and he's got good ball handling skills, but he's not as crafty. He's not as elusive. So this is, it's terrible. It's great for the NBA because it shows, like, oh, hey, like, look, like, the Sixers were telling their fan base, hey, we're promising championships, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's going to be okay. And they brought in Daryl Morey. And all that. They brought in Doc Rivers, which I didn't really necessarily agree with because, I mean, he couldn't get it done with the Los Angeles Clippers. And that's carrying over clearly. He's super bad luck. They need to move on from him immediately. Bye-bye. That needs to happen. But, like, this is great for the NBA because it'd be like, hey, tanking doesn't work. The players have, like, there has to be a lot of things to technically go right. So, I mean, if you're Adam Silver, you're Tiger Woods fist pumping it in your offices right now. You're just like, let's go, because the Sixers were trying to break the system. They were. I mean, this is all everyone talked about for the past few years. It's like, oh wow, like, we had never seen tanking to this degree in professional sports. I mean, it was a whole new ball game. And so now that this is happening, it's almost like karma to a certain degree.
Pete, does trust the process work?
No, because they don't have a title yet. I mean, they're not still playing. So no, it doesn't work. I mean, it would work if to BK's point at the beginning, you know, you got to draft the right players. But yeah, I mean, it comes with that too. And you got to make sure your players mix together. I mean, Ben Simmons can't shoot. If you have a big guy like Embiid, like you got to have a guy that can space the floor. It's going to clog the lane. And BK, great stat about Embiid making more outside shots than Simmons. Like, that shouldn't be the case there with that. And it comes down to the player too. Like, Ben Simmons, we talked about this, you know, probably when, you know, he got drafted, his outside shot was terrible and he didn't improve on it. And I mean, like, you're seeing the results here right now. And to the point about Rondo, I mean, Rondo wasn't the first overall pick, you know, like Ben Simmons was. I mean, you talk about expectations that you're going to have when you're the first overall pick. Like, that's game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. That ball should be in your hand and you should not be scared and basically go up for a dunk and then pass it off to, you know, a buddy, like you're, you know, trying to get a triple double or something, you know, which is, I don't know what Ben Simmons normally does is a triple double, but. So yeah, I mean, does the trust the process work? No, it doesn't, because I mean, they had all these picks and, you know, what's it leaving them with here right now? And it comes down to, I mean, look at the teams that are left right now. I mean, Paul George, he was like the end of the first round, you know, who's, you know, with the Clippers. We had Kawhi Leonard mid to end of the first round. You had Devin Booker, 13th overall pick there in the draft. So you can do this. And look at Giannis. Giannis wasn't a top 5 pick. I mean, so, like,
he was still lottery, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was still lottery, but, like, he's not like, oh, you got a tank to get the first overall pick, you know, basically.
Jokic was a second round pick.
Yeah.
Second.
So you can find these guys if you scout correctly. So you just got to pick the right players. So
Giannis, I mean, was 15th. In 2013.
Yeah, 15th. There we go.
Okay, outside of the lottery. That's outside of the lottery.
And that's a value pick. I mean, that's really what it is. So, yeah, does tanking work? No, it doesn't. And if I'm the Sixers, they're in a bad spot right now because, like, everybody saw the whole Ben Simmons struggling thing, and they can't win with this team. They can't. They have to change something up. Embiid played great, but, like, They, I mean, Tobias Harris played well, but he's not going to be a 1 or 2. I mean, he's a solid 2-3-ish. That's,
yeah,
what he is.
Yeah, I say he's a solid, solid, like, 2.5.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. So they got to bring in someone else and get rid of Simmons because it's just not going to fit. And, I mean, it's not like Philly's the most, you know, forgiving fan base either. So it's not going to be great. Not going to be great.
Oh, and I want to say this stat before you go ahead, Ryan, real quick on that outside shooting. I meant to say it earlier. So Joel Embiid was 10 of 28 from three-point range against the Hawks. Ben Simmons has made 5 shots from outside of 10 feet during his 34 career playoff games.
God.
Now, real quick here. So Frank said it works for the Astros and the Cubs. Baseball's very different. Like tanking is not like it's very, very different. Also, for it to even happen in baseball and for it to line up that way is very, very unlikely, especially in the case of the Astros and the Cubs, because for that many prospects to hit and click all at the same time is insane. It's just extremely lucky. Did it work for the Wizards? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, no championships.
Well, when did the Wizards tank?
I don't know.
I don't think the Wizards tanked on purpose. Not like the Sixers.
Yeah, I think it was an accident. I think they just ended up being bad. I don't think it was that
bad. Yeah, no. The Wizards
The 76ers, the reason the 76ers thing is so prevalent is because it was like a thing. Like, they made it a thing. Like, yep, we're just going to keep losing on purpose. We're going to sit guys. We're going to pull guys. And at the end of the day, they haven't won a championship, so it hasn't worked. Here's what it is. Milwaukee Bucks, Nets. Game 7 series recap. KD tried his best, but still couldn't will the Nets to the next round. KD had 48 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, 1 block, and 1 steal. It's very reminiscent of Dame's performance against the Nuggets earlier in the playoffs. Giannis also played great. 40 points, 13 boards, 5 assists, and 1 block. Wasn't enough. James Harden, you know, grade 2 strain of that hamstring. You could definitely tell it was bothering him really bad. Kyrie rolled his ankle. You know, maybe if you played more, your ankles wouldn't have been rolled so easy. I don't know. You know, but my biggest thing here with the Nets is, sorry, KD. KD did the best he could. He really did. He balled out. But, I don't feel bad. Good for Milwaukee. Fear the deer.
Yeah. Oh, great for Milwaukee. And sorry if I cut you off or peed you off there. But it's like another thing that this kind of almost like proves, which is like kind of good for the NBA, is that you can't just build a team in the offseason. I mean, we've seen it for football, and like this actually proved you can't necessarily do it for basketball all the time. I mean, you know, the Lakers kind of did it just the other year, but then we kind of see the pendulum swing back this year where, okay, yep, you can't just add 3 pieces. They hardly play with each other and it just works. So it's like, yay.
Well, this is all Kyrie, too. Remember Kyrie said, like, they don't need coaching. He, like, joked about it on his Instagram or whatever. Like, they don't need coaching. Well, maybe everybody else on the team did. So, like, when KD was by himself, they would have been okay.
Yeah. I mean, you saw them, like, the end of the game. It was just like, well, KD, do something. You know, it's like the meme where it's just like, you know, they're poking, like, do something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, like, no one else wanted to touch the ball. It just seemed very awkward, and it just did not seem right. And yeah, I mean, KD did his best, but I mean, there's only so much he can do, especially against a really good Bucks team. You know, I mean, when you got like basically, you know, 1.5 horses, you know, basically with, you know, Harden being hurt and Kyrie not even being there, like, I mean, it's not going to happen, but props to KD for at least making that close. But yeah, I mean, awesome for the Bucks. Good for Giannis. I mean, like, last year sucked for him, you know, losing in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, that series against Atlanta is going to be not what everybody thought. So, but I think it's going to be entertaining with Trae Young against Giannis. This should be a good series.
I think that the NBA right now, like, who would have thunk that our final four teams would be the Clippers, the Suns, the Bucks, and the Hawks?
Nobody.
It's great though. If you're an actual NBA fan, like, you have to like this, because it's just like, okay, this is like, I mean, my complaint during the college football playoff, it was like the same teams over and over again. I super enjoy this. I'm seeing new teams. I'm seeing new faces. I'm seeing new coaches. I'm seeing like new cities. I'm not seeing the same thing over and over again. I'm super excited for this, and I hope that the ratings you know, are good. Hopefully the casual fan, you know, just doesn't want to suck LeBron's dick the whole time and the fucking Lakers' dick and just fucking start and watches.
Well, that's a great point, because 2021 playoff viewership is up 39% from last year. So, I think we're doing well. We're doing very, very well. I'm sure that did help with the play-in tournament of the Warriors and the Lakers, which is the highest rated game in like however long for the NBA. That was insane. Even though it wasn't kind to the East Coasters, I'll tell you that. But overall, like, this playoff has been fun. It's been exciting. We've seen each matchup has given us a story, which is great. And now here we are with Pete said, Giannis versus Trae Young. What is that going to look like? Two teams that have completely built themselves, right? And I guess can say, quote unquote, trusted the process in their own rights. Then you see the Suns, the equivalent of also building yourself up. You add a key piece in Chris Paul, and now look at what the Suns are doing. And then the Clippers, who, you know, are probably out of all these teams, are the only ones that spent a lot of money. But they were historically bad all the time. Couldn't get over the hump. Here they are. Very close. Yeah, then get past the Suns of getting over the hump. And that's not the LA team that I think we all thought would get this far. I think a lot of us thought it'd be the Lakers. Here we are.
Nope. Well, and I like how a lot of sports pundits and critics out there were criticizing the Clippers, like, for, like, later in the season, like, sitting and resting players and, like, kind of losing a few games on purpose towards the end of the year to avoid playing the Lakers. Guess what? It's worked out. Like, yeah, I know the Lakers lost, but, like, they've made it to the Western Conference Finals. Like, it worked out. I know people were criticizing that, but, like, that's just smart. If you know, if you look at it and you're like, oh, hey, we don't match up well against that team, then, yeah, try to avoid playing them a little bit. I completely understand that. That's smart. You play the matchups. Like, what the hell? Like, I hate how we just try to criticize a team like that. We're just like, nope, you gotta play to their style of game. Nope, that has never worked in sports. You have to dictate the flow and the tempo of the game. So I just props to the Clippers for making it this far, and like all of the super smart media personalities on ESPN for criticizing them. Great job, ESPN. Keep up the awesome shit work.
Nice.
I don't want to say anything more.
Okay, there we go.
I want to end with that.
Okay, there we go. Rick Carlisle tells Mark Cuban he's not returning next year to coach the Mavericks. Sam Van Gundy out as the Pelicans head coach. And Scotty Brooks and the Wizards couldn't agree on a new contract and agreed to mutually part ways. So those are some of the coaching changes. BK excited. Scotty Brooks is out. He's excited.
Yes!
We don't know what's coming next for the Wizards, but...
Well, I mean, look, I think I said before, no, I'm not hating on Scotty Brooks, but just like, I think the only reason they brought him in was it was before Durant's first like free agency period there. And so they were like, and I think that was a big piece of him. Like, okay, we can convince Durant to come to Washington if his old head coach is there, blah, blah, blah. I think that was the main reason, because we brought in Scotty Brooks the offseason before Durant became a free agent, and they were asking Scotty Brooks the question in those press conferences, like when he was like hired by the media. So like, I think that was the main reason, and wish him the best of luck in his, you know, future endeavors, and we'll see who the Wizards get. Expectations are low, just like my teams, just like what they are with the team in general. So
good Lord. Thank God BK has the Ravens, man. Thank God.
I need something.
Something. Going. The Celtics, we talked about a couple weeks ago, they made some changes to their front office. They've also made changes on the court as well. They traded Kemba Walker, the 16th pick this year, and a 2025 second-round pick to the Thunder for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-round pick. The Thunder accumulate more picks, now holding an astronomical 35 picks from 2021 to 2027, 18 of which are first-round picks. Pete, that's a lot of picks.
That is a lot of picks. Are they going to use all those picks? Doubtful. Really, I think it's kind of smart on their part. You know, for the simple standpoint of, like, we talked about lottery. We talked about, like, you know, basically you can pick guys outside of maybe the top, like, four, top three, and find some pieces. So, like, what they can easily do is, like, you know, just hit on one or two of those young guys, and then guess what? More likely than not, a star is going to probably want out of some city for some reason. Trade a couple picks, boom, there's your star, and do like what Phoenix did, where they drafted. I mean, obviously, they had the first overall pick and took DeAndre Ayton. Obviously, that helps. And then, you know, the Booker pick too. But yeah, and then you get Chris Paul. So that's what you do. I mean, that's a smart way that James Jones, you know, made his team, you know, mix the new, you know, with the veteran piece. So Yeah, I mean, it's smart in the Thunder's part. I mean, Kemba Walker, it's not like he's a terrible player. So it was never a fit in Boston. Like, I don't know why. Boston's just always been like a weird enigma for me. I just don't get it. Maybe like when Brad Stevens brings in a new coach, they can figure it out because, I mean, they have so much talent on that team. But yeah, he had to be dealt because it just didn't fit. It was weird. It was weird.
Mr. BK, I know you are very blown away by how many picks the Thunder have.
It's nutty. I think what they average like 5 picks a year, I think, something like that for during that span. It's insane. It's got to be exciting if you're a Thunder fan. And honestly, like, just pick the high upside guys. Like pick the guy that might have like a super, super duper low floor, but has the high upside. Just take the huge risks on all those picks and don't get safer until like the last like couple years of that run. But in the beginning, yeah, swing for the fucking fences. You got nothing to lose. I mean, holy crap, the amount of picks is ridiculous. But like PT said, they are not going to use, they're not going to actually be picking all those guys. That's just, it's the NBA. It ain't going to happen, Cap'n. They will trade some for whatever it may be eventually.
There we go. Thunder rocking and rolling with a lot of picks. And this season, they couldn't even get the number one. That is a damn shame. Jordan Brand announced its largest female roster ever with 11 WNBA players. That is awesome to see. Michael Jordan right there pushing the forefront for women athletes. Good for him. I also want to wrap this up with, I didn't throw it in the notes, but I did see the Harlem Globetrotters want a spot in the NBA as a franchise. No. Absolutely. The Chicago Sky are going to beat the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't want to hear it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Chicago Sky did. I'm asking. I have no idea.
No, that they would. I feel like
asking would. For a friend.
Yeah, I feel like they would. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would not.
It can happen.
I guess I would, but I'm just saying, yeah, the Harlem Globetrotters are out here talking about how they want a spot in the NBA as a franchise, and I just was completely thrown off by it. I was like, why? No, absolutely not. Like, I don't understand. No.
No. I think maybe just because they see that, I don't know, like the Globetrotters used to be like huge. I mean, it's like, especially like when my dad was like growing up, I remember he used to talk about them, and like a lot of great players like would go to the Globetrotters and then go to the NBA or vice versa. That doesn't really happen anymore. So like their market is kind of their market share has just been decreasing, like on just like nearly flatlining. So yeah, that's probably why they're coming out like, we are part of this great rich basketball history in America, but you don't really know about them anymore. So I'm guessing that's why. I mean, I'm just pure speculation on my part. I know we were talking about the Pelicans moving. Just move a team to Harlem and just, you know. But that would be crappy for New Orleans fans. So I would feel bad for them there a little bit.
Oh yeah, the Pelicans. Oof, not in a good spot here. Yeah. Anything else NBA related or sports related before we wrap this up?
Nah.
No. All right, let's do it to it, everybody. Thank you for listening to episode 182 of Amalgamation Nation. You can find the podcast on podcast platforms such as Google, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, which is introducing subscriptions from Spotify and Anchor for $4.99 a month. You can subscribe to the show via Spotify and Anchor and get unlock bonus episodes and more bonus content as we add it. It's still in beta, so it's working out all the bugs that actually if you are able to sign up, tweet us at AMNationPod and let us know, because myself, BK, and Big Lowe's have tried and it wasn't letting it go through, so we'll keep working on that. Also, you can find the latest episodes. We had our E3 Big Bad Natty Daddy E3 show. It was 2.5 hours long. Check that out on podcast services, as well as the Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart review. That was fun as well, so check that out too. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AmNationPod. Follow us on both of those. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. We appreciate it. If you want to be a part of any of the shows with questions and comments, it's 815-556-9089. Go to twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. Give David a follow and a sub as well. When he's not working, that is usually where the show is streamed at. If you have Amazon Prime, which I'm sure you do, and you're using Prime Day right now, you do get a free sub a month on Twitch. So give it to Undead Black Bull. Also, real quick before we go, shout out to my internet lasting the whole time, being able to stream this episode on Twitter and Facebook. So shout out to the internet tonight. Way to go. Proud of you.
Shout out.
We'll be back Thursday night for a gaming episode. As always, everybody, be kind to one another, take care of yourselves. And you stay breezy.